Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to MISC third quarter financial year 2016 analyst briefing conference call. Ada from MISC Investor Relations team will run through today's agenda briefing. Ada, over to you.
Thank you, Aaron. Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for participating. We have with us today Puan Rosaina Awang, Vice President of Finance, Ms. May Wong, Head of Corporate Planning and Development, Nick Azlan, Senior General Manager Finance, Teo Paul Kang, General Manager Corporate Planning and Development. We will start the session with financial highlights for the quarter's performance by Nick Azlan, followed by Market Environment and Business Outlook by Paul. At the end of the presentation, we will open the line for Q&A session. Our event manager will later provide instruction on the Q&A process. Before we start, I'd like to bring to your attention to the disclaimer slide. During the presentation, we may make some forward-looking statements in reference to our plans and expectations, and actual results could differ due to unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that are in many cases beyond MISC's control. With that, I pass the session to Nick Azlan for our first agenda to give us an update on MISC's third quarter 2016 financial performance. Over to you, Lance.
Okay. Thanks, Ada. Hi, everyone. I'll dive straight into the financial performance of the third quarter, comparing the results of the third quarter against the preceding quarter, which is the second quarter for financial year 2016. Okay, we recorded lower revenue by 5%. Our revenue of 566.1 million was 5% lower than the revenue for the second quarter. The main causes of the decrease in revenue being lower charter rates in petroleum, consistent with past seasonally lower rates in the summer of the Northern Hemisphere, and lower earning days in LNG from expiry of Puteri Zamrud on 2nd of July 2016. Profit before tax from operations of $72.3 million was 41% lower than preceding quarter. Factors contributing to the lower profit being lower revenue in petroleum and LNG, and reversal of construction gain for FPS Ochendo following agreement of a lump sum payment for VOs instead of an increase in daily charter rates. Comparing our results with the corresponding quarter, which is the third quarter for financial year 2015, revenue was lower by 8%, mainly due to lower revenue from lower rates in petroleum. Corresponding quarter's petroleum rates bucked the seasonal trend, mainly from lesser tanker deliveries in 2015. Lesser number of trading vessels in LNG and completion of larger projects, namely Malikai and SK316, also contributed to the decrease in revenue. Profit before tax from operations, the decrease in revenue and higher depreciation charges from change in vessel estimated useful life were the main causes of the of the 62% decrease in profit before tax from operations compared to the corresponding quarter. We also recorded $32.4 million of non-recurring items in the current quarter. This is mainly the impairment of Puteri class vessels of $40 million. We had a reversal of provision for litigation claim in AET of $4.5 million. And we also had an adjustment to gain from acquisition of Paramount of $3.3 million following finalization of the completion accounts for the transaction in August 2016. This compares to $63.5 million non-recurring items in the corresponding quarter, which were mainly the impairment of the Puteri class vessels. Okay, moving on to the segmental review, beginning with the LNG. Lower revenue from LNG business against the preceding quarter of $150.7 million in the current quarter against $157.6 million in the preceding quarter were mainly due to lower earning days for Puteri Zamrud. Puteri Zamrud came off higher of the previous charter on 2nd of July 2016. This is offset by higher earning days for 3A class vessels, which countered the decrease in revenue from Puteri Zamrud. Comparing the profit before tax from operations against the preceding quarter, we had a $6.1 million drop in profit before tax, largely because of the lower revenue that we recorded in the current quarter. Comparing against the corresponding quarter, lower revenue from lower earnings for Puteri Zamrud were the main causes of the decline in revenue by $23.5 million. We also had lower charter rates for Sri Balhaf and Sri Balqis. Following the degradation of security conditions in Yemen, we also disposed of T2 and T3, which is our Tenaga 2 and Tenaga 3 in November 2015. Hence, we no longer have revenue from the two vessels in the current quarter. PBT from operations for LNG was lower by $30 million, largely due to the lower revenue as mentioned earlier. Okay. For petroleum shipping, comparing the revenue against the preceding quarter, as indication, we had lower rates for the petroleum sector in the current quarter compared to the preceding quarter. As an indication, the FMX rates, as indicated from Clarkson, it was lower to about $13,000 per day compared to preceding quarter of about $25,000 per day. And as a result, our revenue was significantly low. As a result, our profit before tax was also lower by $42 million, largely because of the lower revenue, as mentioned earlier. And also, we had higher bunker costs in the current quarter. Comparing the results against the corresponding quarter, rates was also a major factor that contributed to the decline in revenue by $56 million. As an indication, Clarkson's rates for Aframax was $31,000 per day last year as compared to $13,000 per day in the current quarter. For profit before tax from operations, we recorded a lower PBT from operations. In fact, we showed a loss of $27.7 million in the current quarter, which basically is about a $70 million drop in PBT from operations, largely from the decline in revenue of about $56 million, as explained earlier. And we also had the impact of higher depreciation resulting from the change in vessel useful life, as well as higher depreciation from our acquisition of the Paramount tankers. Okay. Moving on to offshore. Offshore recorded higher revenue against the preceding quarter, largely due to contribution of Gomusut's revenue following our equity buyback in May 2016. For profit before tax, our profit before tax from operations against preceding quarter was lower by $27 million, largely due to a reversal of construction gain for FTSO Chendo, following agreement of a lump sum payment, which I had mentioned earlier. And we also had a decrease in contribution from FPSO KK, largely due to the fact that in the preceding quarter, we had recognized an $8.6 million annual maintenance allowance for the asset. Comparing against corresponding quarter, our revenue was higher by $23 million, mainly due to the recognition of full quarter revenue for Gomusut of $31 million from completion of the equity buyback in May. We also noted a decrease in revenue from the two MOPUs, given its termination of contracts in June and September this year. We also saw lower revenue from revision in charter hire rates for FPS Ochendo, as mentioned earlier. PBT from operations were lower by $15 million, largely due to lower contribution from FPS Ochendo, resulting from the reversal of construction gain, as well as revision in charter hire rates following the agreement for a lump sum payment of the VOs. This is offset by the higher profit contribution from GKL following completion of the equity buyback in May 2016. Okay. Moving on to heavy engineering, comparing against preceding quarter, we had higher revenue by $8 million, largely coming from the marine division from higher number and value of repairs performed during the quarter. Loss before tax was very similar to that recorded in the preceding quarter. Revenue for the quarter comparing against the corresponding quarter was down by $21 million, largely due to completion of the SK316 and Malikai projects in quarter four of last year. And also we had lower revenue in the marine repairs division from lower number of and value of repairs performed during the quarter. In terms of profit before tax, we recorded lower profit before tax from operations in heavy engineering of about $5 million, resulting from in last year we actually recorded unrealized forex gain, and we didn't have that this year. Okay, looking at our balance sheet, I just need to highlight that the September 16th debt amount is actually, there was an error to the amount stated here. It should read as $2,900.2 million. So there's a correction that needs to be made to the slide. The increase in debt compared to June 2016 was because we actually drew about $240 million of RCF during the quarter. And the cash as of September of $1.4 billion was higher than in June, largely due to collections on operations. That concludes my presentation. I will now hand on to Paul, who then take through the market environment.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Good evening, everyone. This is Paul here. The third quarter has been a very challenging quarter for the company, despite it being quite an active one on the corporate front for us. There was quite a few activities that took place, which I will share with you later on. But the third quarter was definitely a very difficult one, especially in the shipping segment. But towards the end of the quarter, I think we did see some reprieve. Firstly, in the LNG segment, I think the low charter rate market has been prevailing for quite some time. But in this quarter, we did see quite a pickup in global LNG shipment, which rose about 9% quarter on quarter, largely coming from a lot of spot cargoes being moved. And these are largely being moved to in the Pacific side. It was Japan and China which saw quite substantial pickup in their quarterly cargoes. On the Atlantic side, Argentina and Egypt was the other countries which saw significant improvement in cargo movement. So both of these actually did remove from both the Atlantic and Pacific side, some spot traded vessels were removed. And despite that, I think there are still quite a lot of vessels which are currently being traded in the spot market. Based on our intelligence, there are still about 43 vessels in the spot market, which is quite substantial. It's about 10% of the overall fleet. Combine that with new builds that are going to be delivered this year and the next couple of years, I think, you know, the situation of oversupply in, of vessels in the market, that's not going to be going away anytime soon. Where I think where the spot charter rates will improve will definitely depend a lot more on spot cargoes that are being moved. And today in the market, spot cargoes actually contribute to about 25% of a quarter of the market of the LNG that's being moved. And if you look at the next slide, you know, the situation where gas supply will outweigh demand growth, you know, we're in a market of long gas, and that's not going to change very soon. And hence, you would also see that the contracting of gas from buyers and will also definitely shift. That has already changed somewhat, and you would also continue to see that more cargoes or contracts will be on a shorter tenure, and there will also be a lot more spot cargoes being traded. And selectively, in terms of new projects, there has not been any new projects being sanctioned from the liquefaction side. So selectively going forward in the market, new demand for shipping requirements, we do see some, but that's going to be very limited. These are largely going to be either in Indonesia from the BP Tango project or Gazprom in Russia. So with this sort of very limited growth or new shipping requirement and market, we will need to expedite the demand growth. And to do that, I think it will come from unconventional shipping requirement, which will then see ship owners like ourselves having to participate in creating new infrastructure for gas demand. And by that, I mean it will be in areas such as the FSRU or even in the areas of creating power barges, which will then increase demand. If you look at the next slide, the last 3 or 4 years, 8 out of 10 new LNG importing terminals are based on FSRU requirements. And going forward, I think emerging markets with their new demand for gas will definitely also be looking at similar mode of transportation or receiving terminal. So hence, I think the space of non-conventional shipping requirement will be where we'll need to look at carefully in terms of getting new demand in the LNG space. Moving on to the petroleum, in the quarter, that's definitely been a very, very weak quarter. It's actually worse than what we expected. If you look at the spot rates, as Nick has mentioned earlier, in all three segments that we're in, mainly the VLCC, Suezmax, and Afras, it did see quite a sharp drop of nearly about 50% in most of the markets. And, you know, at some point in August, I think, you know, some of them were, some of the space were actually sub $10,000 per day, $10,000 per day in terms of charter rates in the spot market. The time charter market has remained a little bit more resilient. The drop has been a lot more moderate. And, you know, the supply side of vessels does not help, especially with new deliveries of vessels increasing, especially towards the third quarter. In all three segments, we did see slightly higher delivery of vessels. Coupled with the lower demand during the quarter, which is largely due to both maintenance of refineries as well as lower in throughputs at refineries because of the high inventory situation that we're in. I think towards the end of the quarter, we started to see drawdowns of inventories, and hence, if you look at the charter rates today in early November or end of October, we're starting to see the winter demand coming back. Today, the rates are probably about 20 to 30% higher than what it was back in average of the third quarter. So what we're seeing is we're going to see the seasonal demand pick up in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, leading up to the winter months. And if you look at the next slide, I think the return of West African crude, as well as possibly in the longer term, especially when prices of oil recover, higher exports of U.S. crude, these are all definitely positive for longer term charter market, where ton miles for crude from the Atlantic moving to the Far East will increase ton mile demand. I think the winter weather could possibly be quite erratic, and we're not putting too much hope, but I think we could possibly see quite a harsh winter this time around. And again, with the unpredictable weather, that could play into the strength of the charter market in the fourth quarter. I think if you look at the next slide, this year and for 2016 and 2017, supply side of vessels, that's going to be quite fairly high. That's not likely to change very much as vessels continue to be delivered into the market. Both this year and next year, we're looking at about 5% increase in the overall fleet. But I think with the recent ratification of the Ballast Water Management Convention at IMO, that could play into the strength of, or could remove some older tonnages in the market. With the Ballast Water Management Convention, that means older vessels, all vessels will need to be fitted with new ballast water treatment systems, and that could cost somewhere between, anywhere between $2 million to $5 million per vessel. And all vessels will have to be fitted with that post, new vessels that are delivered post September 2017 would have to be fitted with that. And older vessels would have to be fitted with it once they go into dry dock after the September 2017 period. Now with the poor market environment that we're in, this is additional cost will actually not be in favor for ship owners, and we do expect actually some of the older tonnages to then see acceleration of the scrapping. In fact, we just saw one of the older VLCCs being scrapped in the third quarter. That's the first of the VLCC that we've seen sent for scrapping in a long, long time. So in the longer term, I think, you know, post-2017, where delivery of vessels are going to be much more moderate, that's where we do see an uptick taking place in the petroleum shipping market. Now, on the offshore side, I think oil price will continue to be a major factor in determining how many projects come into play. As I mentioned earlier, that there are some reprieve in the market in the sense that in the quarter itself, we actually saw that Petrobras actually have announced their revised budget, and with it, it comes certainty of four new projects which will be developed in the shorter term. Two, lastly, will be looked at or being awarded this year, and two, potentially in the first half of next year. And these are all projects with very large value, and largely it's going to be in the Atlantic Basin. And if you look at what has been planned in the near future for the FPS market, 50% of the FPSO would be in deep water and in around Brazil and Africa region. And the estimated value for these projects are going to be very big. Most of them, especially in West Africa and Brazil, would cost somewhere between $1.5 billion to the range of $1.9 billion. So we do see that there are some opportunities emerging, and these are areas where we could potentially look at, apart from the brownfield projects, which one of them we secured recently, FSO Benchamas. I think there are quite a few other projects, replacement projects in Thailand, which we're aggressively looking at. Now moving to the corporate side, I think there was quite a lot that happened during the last quarter. Firstly, in the LNG space, we have completed some of the retrofitting or refurbishment work. The FSU-2 boiler has completed its retrofitting, and we've also completed the repair and life extension for Putri Zamrud, the fourth of our Putri class vessel. So what in October, that has been redelivered, and it will start its new charter on the 10-year lease. We also saw an extension for our Aman Sendai. We've been awarded an additional 10 plus 5 years contract with Petronas that would add on to its current 20-year charter. Our latest vessel to the fleet, We took delivery of 3C, 3 Camellia. It was delivered on 30th September. This will go on to serve Petronas on a 15 plus 5 years time charter. It's actually one of our more modern design with a MOS type cargo containment system. It's installed with our selective catalytic reduction system, and it comes with ozone bath water treatment system. And on top of that, it's actually the propulsion system is using an ultra steam turbine plant, which is actually quite comparable to other engines in the market today in terms of fuel consumption. Post this delivery of the 3 Camellia, we're going to take delivery of the second LNG vessel within this new 3C class vessel. The next one will be delivered sometime in January. So this will provide the growth that we're looking forward to in the LNG business. On the petroleum side, we've completed the acquisition of Paramount, and as Nick has highlighted earlier, there was some adjustment made post the completion of the acquisition. Apart from that, I think for the quarter, it has been a very challenging quarter for the petroleum side, where we actually did see our turn to spot ratio declining somewhat to around the 50-50 level. Partially, there were quite a few items which contributed to that. I guess there were some time charter parties which was expired during the quarter, and most of them were renewed during the quarter. But on the lightering side, despite having similar number of lightering activity during the quarter, the number of days taken for lightering has shrunk because port conditions have improved with drawdown of inventory, so delays and congestions at port in the US actually has improved, and hence there were actually lower number of days taken up for lighterings. So with the lower term to spot, that's why you see the swing actually for the earnings in petroleum segment. Going forward, I think we will be looking at further reviewing the or rejuvenating the fleet that we have, especially in the Aframax segment, where we do have quite a fair bit of older tonnages. Some of this will be replaced by the 8 new tankers that we have ordered. And definitely in the petroleum segment, we're also looking at Brazil, where quite a fair bit of DP shuttle tanker are being on offered. And we do see quite a lot of opportunities to actually add on to our existing fleet of DP shuttle tankers. In the offshore business segment, two major events. One is the award of the FSO Benchamas 2. This is a replacement asset for the field in Thailand. And the FRMAX Bunga Kelana 5 from our AET fleet will be converted at our MHV yard for this. And this will go on to serve Chevron Thailand for 10 years with another potential 5 years extension. Expected to commence operation in second quarter 2018. So the conversion will take place in 2017. Apart from that, the Mampu 1 project, which has sailed away in end of September, that will be deployed at Anjung Kechil oil field in offshore Sarawak. And this will go on to serve a 10-year firm contract commencing somewhere in November this year. And apart from this two, I think we're still eyeing a few other opportunities. The FSO Benchamas is one of the first of our project in Thailand. And in fact, in Thailand, there are quite a few other replacement projects which are potential targets for us to move further into the Thailand space. And apart from that, I think, as we've mentioned before, Brazil continues to be a very attractive market where we've Petrobras's new budget and affirmation of new projects, I think it opens up potential bidding for these four new fields in the next 12 months or so. But having said that, I think the opportunities for acquiring assets in Brazil are going to be very large, and potentially, you know, we will need to look at partnering someone to look at these assets. So on the heavy engineering side, that's less rosier. Unfortunately, the replacement of order intake has not been too forthcoming, and up to September, we've only managed to add 156 million ringgit of order book to existing order book of about 686 million. I think going forward, apart from bidding of offshore based contracts and also improving on the marine offshore side of MHB, the main focus for MHB right now is actually to contain or to manage its cost base and to reduce overheads in view of the lower order books that it has. So, and finally, I think the last corporate exercise that we did for the quarter was the completion of Mills disposal, our integrated logistics. We've managed to complete that on the 24th of October, and we're likely to we'll be seeing total proceeds of up to close to 360 million for that transaction. So with that, Mills would then cease to be part of our operations from October onwards. So if I were to sum up the quarter and also the potential outlook for the group, I think in the fourth quarter we're likely to see some better numbers, largely from the pickup in AET side, where the petroleum shipping segment should improve somewhat with the winter demand. And for the other segments, I don't think we are going to see further or one-off items such as impairments, except for potentially at MHB, where we're still looking at a potential impairment that will be revealed in the fourth quarter. But going forward, I think where we see most potential is likely to be in the offshore segment, despite the low oil and gas prices that we see today, where there are potential assets for acquisition, as well as large fields that are being offered by Petrobras. The LNG space will remain a little bit subdued, but you know, looking at non-conventional shipping requirements will be something that has to be looked into closer for us to look at growth again. So I think that's all the updates I have for this quarter, and we'll take questions from the analysts now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll be placed in the queue. To cancel the queue, please press 02. Please state your name and the company you represent before asking your question. Our first question, Kong Ho Meng from UOB Kay Hian. Please go ahead.
Cool. Hi, guys. Thanks for the briefing. I have a few questions to ask. I want to ask about the Aman Sendai vessel first. So is that basically that vessel will go back to work eventually? Is that correct?
Yes, correct. You'll go on to an additional 10 plus 5 years contract. But at
when
current
will the
market
contract
rate.
Start? Okay.
Sorry?
When is the contract supposed to start?
Thank you.
Start.
2018,
I think, for the new contract
right.
to
yeah. second quarter
2018. I see.
But it's
how about
still
the
so it's still in the last couple of years of its current contract. So once that 20-year is completed, it will add on another 10-year to it.
Just a continuous thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
An extension to the
how about the other unmanned vessels that were terminated? I can't remember the name. What is the chances of redeployment now?
Aman Bintulu and Aman Hakata are currently being laid up.
Yes.
But we're still looking at opportunities for redeployment.
Okay. I want to move on to the crude tanker at the petroleum side. I'm just a bit surprised on the term to spot at the term and the spot portfolio mix that you have right now, the 50-50. I just want to understand a bit more. What has caused the time charter portion to basically decline a bit?
I think if you look at how we've been managing the time charters, is we will try and spread them out. So on each quarter, you would definitely see certain number of contracts being expiring, and we will look for new charters. I think if you look at what the quarter was doing, it was definitely a very, very weak quarter. And hence, I think, you know, tactically, we also try not to lock in all the time charters at that period, especially when we do expect to see some pickup in towards the fourth quarter. You would see some fluctuations quarter on quarter depending on the timing of the renewal. But as I mentioned as well, I think from the COA side, which includes some of the lightering COAs, the number of days taken for the COAs were much shorter in the quarter, and hence that also affected somewhat the ratios that you see.
But I guess it's a temporary thing, lah. It depends on market conditions, and the spot mix can change again anytime, lah, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we will try and lock in or try and preserve the portion of term to spot, especially in a weaker market.
Okay. How much is the crude tankers, how much are they making on a PBT level if you exclude the chemicals? I think so the whole petroleum division is about 37.7 million in losses, right, on a PBT level, but if you strip out between the tankers and the chemical, how much of the amount?
For the chemical side, that's about 5 million.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yep. The chemical losses for the chemical fleet is about 5 million.
Hello, guys?
Yeah. Can you hear us? Yeah?
Come in.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question, Alex Goh from M Research. Please go ahead.
Many thanks. I've got a few questions. But first, I'd like to go into your core profit. I was wondering whether you could give us your computations, because the minority charges in your one-off items tend to distort the numbers. So I was wondering whether you could give us your numbers that you've computed for your third quarter and for your nine-month period. What are the numbers that you're getting in terms of in ringgit?
In ringgit, if you refer to the Bursa announcement, we recorded operating profit of 311 million ringgit in the quarter, and for the 9 months, we recorded operating profit of close to 1.8 billion ringgit. This translates to about 172 million dollars
$72 million
for the quarter.
For the quarter, as compared to is $444 million for the 9 months.
$444 million for the 9 months, huh? What exchange rate should I use in this to, if I were to convert to the to ringgit, so that I can actually do a comparison with your reporting currency?
What was the exchange rate? Every exchange rate? For the 4.08329 for the quarter, and for the year to date is the same. Oh, that's cool.
Let me go through. 4.0328, is it?
4.0839. That's the average rate.
Okay, that is for the 3 months as well as for the 9 months, is it?
Yes.
Okay, that's wonderful. Okay, I just like to go into your FPSO Chendor, where you've indicated that there was a construction gain reversal. I just want to know, what is the actual value that was reversed, and is this related to your note to the account that says that there was an adjustment to your finance lease receivable?
That's correct. Yeah. The amount was about $20 million.
US dollars, is it?
Yes.
I think there were a slight change in the payment format.
Method of payment.
For work that was done on the FPSO Chendor. There were previously some variation orders, which in the end, the customer actually agreed to pay in a lump sum format. So since we have actually calculated that based on the finance lease earlier, therefore we had to make that reversal. So it's a one-off item.
That affected offshore's results for the quarter.
Okay. So is this $20 million considered the variation order from the additional cost that came from the conversion?
No, it's not. $20 million is just the adjustment to the profit on the BO portion, because initially we agreed on a rollover rate, which is basically having a higher daily charter rates arising from the BO, but with this latest arrangement where they pay lump sum, the margin that we would have earned over the remaining 8 years have been basically banished.
I see.
We do earn some margins on it. It's not comparable to the present value of the 8 years.
Okay. So actually this $20 million gain, so to speak, was already recognized on a MMHE level, was it, am I correct?
No, it's recognized in MISC. If you recall back in 2014, we recognized an upfront gain on the finance lease for FPSO Chendor. And the upfront gain basically is the construction profit for the FPSO Chendor.
Yes.
And that included the upfront gain on this BO. So with this arrangement for a lump sum payment, we had to make adjustment to the upfront gain that was recognized back in 2014. And the adjustment arising from this BO is about $20 million in the current quarter.
I see. Okay, I got it. I just want to find out again, you made an impairment again of $40 million in this quarter. Which vessels, which Putri class vessels does it relate to?
It's for the Zamrud and Firuz.
This is the last Zamrud. Two of the Putri class.
And Firuz, Putri Firuz, which is expiring next year.
Expiring when?
Next year. In
July.
Firuz is July next year, but Zamrud it expired in July this year.
Okay. Will there be any further impairments coming from the LNG vessels by end of this year?
Not for this financial year. For next year, at most, we don't foresee anything larger than 5 for the Putri class.
I see. Okay. Just to refresh myself, Could you run through exactly how many LNG vessels are now out of work, and as well as your petroleum vessels?
I think there are about four vessels that are currently on either spot or being laid up. This includes the two Sri Balhaf and Balkis for the Yemen LNG project. And then you have both the Aman Hakata and Aman Bintulu, which was terminated earlier this year, and one other vessel which is on spot.
One other vessel, which means there's five, is it?
Yeah, sorry, five.
Which other vessel is that? Yeah, Hakata, Bintulu, Balha, Balkis, and which one?
That's the Sri Bhakti, I think, at the moment.
Yeah.
Sri Bhakti.
Okay. How about the petroleum vessels, the tankers?
Petroleum tankers, the utilizations are quite high, so there is very little concern about idle.
Yeah.
They are about 98% typically, and that's quite normal for the petroleum fleet.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's been really helpful.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question, Kong Ho Ming from UOB Kay Hian. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. So sorry, my line was cut off just now. I think I stopped at the question on what is the PBT contribution between the petroleum and the chemical, between the crude tankers and the chemical fleet for this quarter. Yeah.
Was $5 million for chemical.
Okay. Right. So petroleum is about 22, about there. Okay, and then I want to move on to my next question. How would you like to how would you view on your on the cash flow break even point of view for your crude tankers? I think in this quarter the petroleum division overall is reporting losses. On a cash flow basis, are they still positive?
Yes. They made a positive.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would be the break even? Yeah. Sorry.
Unfortunately, I don't think we can share that with you.
Overall, it's EBITDA positive.
Yeah. But typically, don't expect the cash break even to be above 20,000.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. There are currently no questions in queue. Once again, participants with questions to pose, please press 0101 on your telephone keypad now. Our next follow-up question, Alex Goh from M Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry guys. I just want to ask just one question regarding Zamrud. Under the new rate, how much lower is the new rate compared to the previous one?
It's similar to the rest of the Putri that has got into a new charter. It's similar to Intan, Nilam, and Delima.
And how many percent was the drop? Was it what, 30%, 20%?
You can deduce from the previous Nilam and Intan and
Lelima. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, Raymond Yap from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. Thanks for the call. Okay, I'd just like to talk a little bit about the offshore business. The FPSO Benchamas 2 project, you mentioned that the Bunga Kelana 5 is undergoing conversion at the yard. So I wonder whether you could share what is the cost of the conversion, and what is the expected IRR over the 10 firm years?
Cost is a normal average FSO.
And you can't share the IRR.
Yeah. And returns, normal returns that we have.
That's even
sorry,
more.
Raymond. We can't share much info.
Okay, sure. What is the value of the are you able to guide the value of the 5 one-year options? Is that going to be half of the 10 firm years?
To
the 5 option plus.
Or benchmark.
I think we need to get back to you,
yeah.
Raymond.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you able to give some guidance on the Mampu One contract in terms of the value of the 10-year firm contract?
Mampu One contract.
We don't have the figure offhand, Raymond. Perhaps we can. But given the size of the project, it's not going to be significant.
Okay. Are you able to guide on the cost of the asset and also the expected IRR? Okay, I got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, Aaron Key from Affin Hwang Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, evening, guys. I have two questions. My first question is, in relation to the reversal of provision for litigation gain claim on page 4 on your slides, which amounts to $4.5 million, may I know where was it recognized on the Bursa income statement? Which line item was it included in?
It's in other operating income.
So that amounts to $22 million?
Yeah. Yeah, and thereabouts.
Alright. Okay. My second question is actually on slide 5 for the LNG shipping. If I were to add back the $40 million non-recurring item back to the PBT, you would have a PBT of $96 million, so this translates into a very strong margin for the LNG. Can I just understand the reasoning behind it?
Okay, you are saying if you add back the $90 million, yeah?
Sorry, Aaron, can you just repeat that?
Okay, on slide 5, in the third quarter LNG shipping, there's a non-recurring item of $40 million. Do I add it back to PBT to get a core?
No, that's not the case.
That's excluding the non-core, the one-off item. So the 56 is purely from operational.
Okay. I've got it. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Our next question, Anshul from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening. So my question is regarding the significant drop in the gross profit. Can you explain any reason why?
Gross profit. As I said earlier, the main causes of the reduction in gross profit is largely because of the decline in revenue as well as profit in the petroleum segment. And also because of we recognized $20 million adjustment to the finance lease of FPSO Jendo. So those were the two main contributors to the decline in profit, in gross profit.
And the increase in the cost?
Including what?
And we had higher costs for bunker.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question, Lee Yen Ling from Maybank Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just want to check on the pre-tax profit, the core pre-tax profit. So if I take out the non-recurring item of $32 million, that will be $72 million for your core pre-tax. But when I add up all the segmental core pre-tax, I only get around 50 plus, or the shortfall is about $20 million. So what is this $20 million?
Which page are you referring
to? No, I'm just taking all the segmental core. So if I add up all the segmental core, it's 52.3 million.
I think it could be potentially the
normally,
console
elimination. Elimination when we console and others, interest income, interest cost, and whatnot.
Yeah, because the amount is quite huge. It's 20 million against your core pre-tax totaling of 72.
Elimination can be huge because we have a lot of intercool business within us. Between offshore business, LNG business, with MHB, our yard. So we do have significant eliminations depending on the progress of work in the yard.
But in this quarter, is there a lot in this quarter? Because MHB is quite slow, right? The
refurbishment work of the Putri class that
I
was
see,
done in MHB. So we do have eliminations for that.
Okay.
And the segmental,
thanks.
The segmental results doesn't include all the other income that we recognize, like the other operating income.
Okay.
Income.
Other operating income is in here. Okay.
Isn't included in the segmental results.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question, Tay Yao Ken from MIDF Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the call. My question is regarding the delivery for the petroleum tankers, the 8 new builds. Will these all be for the purpose of replacing the in-charters?
Most of them will be to time in with the replacement of the in-charters, which will progressively be redelivered from around end of this year to 2018.
So does this mean that they coincide with the expiry of the in-charters?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is roughly to replace the in-charters with newer tonnages.
Okay, so would there be a net fleet addition in that case?
I think in general, we do not foresee the fleet on the petroleum tanker side to grow. In fact, it would be to manage or to look at rejuvenating the age of the fleet to ensure that we continue to have a fairly younger tonnage to be deployed into the market.
Okay.
So
Go ahead. Yeah, would there be any cost savings from the in-chartered once those in-chartered vessels expire?
I think definitely there will be some savings as some of these older in-charters were actually tied back to our earlier sales and lease back, which we did back in sometime around 2007.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, participants with questions to pose or to follow up, please press 0101 on your telephone keypad now. As we have come to the end of the Q&A session, I will now hand the session back to Ada for closing comments. Over to you.
Thanks, Aaron. So that concludes today's conference call. On behalf of MIC, I would like to thank you for your participation. To those who have not received our presentation slide, please drop us an email. A gentle reminder to the sell side again. Appreciate if you could forward us your report once it's been published tomorrow morning to myself or Jasmine for our reference. Thanks once again and have a good evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.